The Holy Gospel for the second Sunday of Lent is written in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following. For it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who were sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Behold, your house is forsaken. And I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and stoning those who are sent to you. Ironical, isn't it, that Jerusalem, the city of God, should also be the slaughterhouse of the prophets. This is something both weird and horrible in our Judeo-Christian history that is still with us today. And since we have come recently through conflict and seen it up close, the hurt and the division in the church today, not only the Lutheran Church, and since we're going to see it again, and again, I want to bring God's word to bear on this theme this morning about killing the prophets. What makes this so horrible is that it is Jerusalem that is killing the prophets and stoning the very people whom God sends as messengers. We might expect violence from a godless world. But Jerusalem, God's chosen people, killing the prophets? How can this be? What is going on? The first thing we have to understand is the word prophet. Who is Jesus talking about? What is a prophet? Well, the popular notion today is that a prophet is someone who unravels or unveils the future. He's a crystal ball gazer. But this is not the kind of prophet Jesus is speaking of. A prophet is not so much a fortune teller of the future as he is a forth-teller of the facts. A person who speaks forth the facts and the truth. Today, they addressed the social, political, economic, spiritual issues of the day by bringing Word of God to bear on those issues. And so they were often the voice of protest. They were the conscience of the community. If the issue was homosexuality or abortion or war, the prophet brought the message, "Thus says the Lord," into the debate. And so they were controversial, just as they are today. The church is told to stay out of the public square. You can do your thing in your church building on Sunday morning, but we don't want to hear from you. The prophets were literally killed. Stoned to death. And it wasn't for saying nice things that people like to hear. They disagreed with popular opinion. They didn't say the politically correct thing. That's what a prophet is. And second, it makes us wonder, well, do we have prophets today? If so, what does a prophet look like? Well, you don't look and see a prophet, you listen and hear a prophet. You hear a message. You know, this is very critical. We have become so orientated by celebrities in our culture today that we want to see what a prophet looks like. But in Israel, you don't look for them with your eyes, you listen for them with your ears. The prophets never considered themselves as being anything more than a voice, a messenger. Remember John the Baptist when they asked him, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm a voice, crying in the wilderness. Who I am doesn't matter. What I tell you is what matters." And third, we need to listen then for that message, which is called the prophetic word. And here's the third thing we need to understand. First, what is a prophet? Second, how to identify him? And third, how is the prophet's message characterized? Well, the prophet's message is always a word of judgment and hope. Not just judgment, and not just hope and love, but judgment and hope. The prophet spoke beautiful messages of comfort and hope, and terrible messages of judgment and despair. This is because they stood at the crossroads where controversial decisions were being decided. And they said, if you go that way, the Lord will visit judgment upon you. And this is what will happen. But if you go this way, then you will find hope and comfort because the Lord will be with you. Judgment and hope. An example of that today would be the words that Billy Graham spoke not too many years ago when he said, America, no other nation in human history has gone down this road of sexual immorality and perversion and survived. There's the judgment. But if you will repent and return to the Lord, he will have mercy on you and deliver you. Hope. Judgment and hope is what you listen for from the prophet. Now, we have people today who speak the prophetic word. You won't see them in People magazine, but you can hear them by the message of judgment and hope. Thus says the Lord, sin and grace, judgment and hope. Yet our most prophetic word today is heard in Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment of the prophets. He is more than a prophet, says Scripture. He is the Word made flesh. If we want to hear God today, we listen to Jesus Christ. This is what the writer of the book of Hebrews meant when he said, in many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets. But in these latter days, he has spoken to us by a son. So, what is a prophet? How do we identify one? How can we tell his message? It is not the prophetic person we look for, but the prophetic voice, and that voice is most clear in Jesus Christ. This prophetic voice of Christ today may be brought by anyone who brings the word to bear on our lives, our concerns, and our issues. It may not be a pastor or even some well-known religious person. It may be a layperson, a teacher, a politician, a parent, Anna and Simeon, a member of another church. For you see, prophecy is the gift of the Holy Spirit, as Paul said. His gifts were that some should be teachers and some evangelists and some prophets to equip the church for its ministry. God has equipped us with prophets. Recently, I read an article by the chief rabbi of France on homosexuality. It was very prophetic. He spoke the Old Testament word of judgment and hope. The chief rabbi of France. God has all kinds of people today who speak for him and who do his will, who are his messengers. Be careful who you kill. In all the controversies dividing our country today, and dividing the church as well, we must listen for that voice of God's judgment and God's hope. That is usually the one we will kill. That's what Jesus is saying. You kill the prophets, the messengers who bring God's word are the ones you kill. And just watch it today, who the targets are. Some of you have no doubt spoken the prophetic word of judgment and hope sometime or another. During controversy, you may not even have been aware that you were doing it. I have witnessed the boldness of lay people who had the gift of prophecy, and they spoke, and they paid the price. There is always the price to pay. But people often look with their eyes instead of listening with their ears and their hearts. And then something happens. We kill another prophet. How does it happen that we kill the prophets today who bring the word? Well, some of it is simply done by what is called ad hominem attacks. That is, we don't like the message they bring, and so we kill the messenger. An ad hominem attack is when you attack the person and not the argument that he's making. Just kill the person, the politics of personal destruction. Never deal with the issue. Just destroy, kill the prophet. And there are at least three mindsets or attitudes or assumptions today that usually lead to this. The first of these is the mindset that regards the Bible, the Word of God, the Gospel of Jesus Christ, as weak, defenseless. And so I have to protect it and defend it from harm. To use the analogy of our text today that Jesus used, of a hen gathering her chicks, we think we have to take God under our wing and protect him and defend him. God can take care of himself. He's a big boy, and he can take care of us too. It's been rightly said that the Word of God is not a little lamb that needs our protection. It is a roaring lion that just needs to be turned loose. God sends forth His Word like the rain, and it accomplishes that for which He sends it, with little or no help from us. The Word has its own power. It cuts its own path. It is a powerful lion. Never think you need to defend it. Teach me thy way, O Lord, because of my enemies. But sometimes, you know, we get uptight and we think we have to protect God. Or protect the church, or protect the Bible. And very often, however, it's not God I'm defending, but it's myself and my own unexamined beliefs that are being challenged. And it is then that I find stones in my hand, ready to kill the messenger. Now, certainly there is a time when we need to take a stand for Christ, as the saints and martyrs have done before us. But we need to do it always with the Spirit of Christ, in the spirit of love for God and love for the neighbor. Have you ever noticed that Jesus never tried to protect God or the Scriptures or even protect himself? In effect, the spirit of Jesus was to say, as he says in the text this morning, his attitude is, you can kill me if you want, but what I say is the truth, and you cannot kill God's truth. By contrast, the Pharisees were very zealous to protect and defend God, but in their zeal to defend the faith, they killed the prophets. And they carried out the crucifixion of Christ. They did it for God. A second mindset that leads us to kill the prophets is when we just assume that God is on my side. We can do most anything we want when we have God on our side. You know, the Pharisees had God on their side. The Crusaders had God on their side. In colonial America, the slave traders had God on their side. The American Indian lost his land, his life, and his dignity because they were savages and God was on our side. It's interesting today to see that in the current controversies, both sides claim that God is on their side. We see Christians fighting Christians. We see anger and slander and indifference, refusing to pray for the other, to worship with the other, because God is on our side. And we're doing this because we love Him and are faithful to Him. Now, I understand this because I've been there and done that too. Still, I know that it's the other way around. It's never a matter of having God on my side, but whether I am on his side. And this can get very confusing in the heat of controversy. Jesus knew which side he was on. He was on God's side when he said, not my will, but thine be done. When he taught us to pray, thy will be done. And when he said, I have no will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And we remember his word to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are not on the side of God, but of men. Who's on whose side? And finally, the third mindset that leads us to pick up stones and stone the messenger is the assumption that I already know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And that the God who moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform, isn't mysterious anymore because I understand him perfectly and what his will is. It sounds pretty crusty and preposterous when we put it in so many words, but that's the fallenness of our human nature and pride. It's the way pride works. So where does all this catch up with us today? I've seen prophets killed, so have you, I think. I've seen them set upon and attacked by loose tongues, misplaced loyalties, a negative spirit, the fear of change. I've seen lay people who have lost business customers downtown, lost friends at church, even family members, because they didn't like what this person said. I've seen pastors told to muzzle the prophetic message, or someone would quit giving or quit coming. Perhaps the most damaging is when controversy comes. It's the silence of the majority who are willing to stand by and say nothing. Remember the verse of Jesus in the book of Revelation. I wish you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm, and I'll spit you out of my mouth. It's one thing when the world persecutes us. We expect that. But when it's done by fellow members of the church. But blessed are you, said Jesus, for so they persecuted the prophets before you. Not the world, mind you, but Jerusalem persecuted them. All the prophets, like our Lord, were killed for their message. And who killed them? Jerusalem. That ought to tell us something about the cost of being a disciple and of standing firm for Jesus. The Christian life is not supposed to be like some comfortable stay at a plush hotel with no trouble or trial and plenty of R&R and a good time. The Christian life of discipleship always involves taking up a cross. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer was killed by the Nazis for his stand, another prophet killed. Bonhoeffer said, when Jesus bids us come, he bids us come and die. So, the Lord never leaves himself without a witness. Always there is that voice crying out, thus says the Lord. And believe me, it's not always a pastor. So let's listen with our ears for that voice that said, my sheep know me, they hear my voice, and they follow. And let us, in every time of controversy, seek our safety in Christ and in his word, and be gathered like chicks under his wings. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, one true God, life without end. Amen. Our hymn for the day is number 364. 364.